Today's episode of Shipment from Shiloh was recorded just days before the announcement of the discontinuation of Android Netrunner. Sorry for the delay. Thank you for your patience. Kevin and I predict the upcoming competitive meta and the cards from Rain and Reverie. So let's get back to it. Welcome back to Shipment from Shiloh. Welcome to the Better Citizens Program, runners. This is Shipment from Shiloh, a Netrunner community podcast. I'm your host, Graham, and today joining me is my metamate, Kevin. What's going on, Kevin?
Hi, Graham. Nice to be here as usual.
As per usual. Today we're going to be discussing some regional predictions, but before we get too far into it, let's find out who the heck this Kevin guy is, because I've never met him before. You guys don't know him. We're going to do that in our first segment called Searchlight. All right, so Kevin, what is like your gaming history, and then how did you get into Netrunner in the first place?
Yeah, sure. So I started my first kind of game or that you play in real life with cards.
Game?
Like a lot of other people, I guess, Magic the Gathering.
Sure.
It's been more than 10 years already. I started playing in high school, and just because my friends were into it, and I got into it, and it was fun, I liked it. What I was really interested was the rules. I thought Magic has a really nice, slick set of rules, and I liked making decks that tried to exploit like little weird quirks in the rules, or just like making, you know, really unique, funny decks, and I liked the... You know, it was my first ever deck building game, and I thought your ability to be creative in that regard, instead of, you know, what other games did my high school self know, like Risk or Monopoly or things like that, is just, you know, it's a set thing that you just play. So to my little 16-year-old mind, I just thought that was just the coolest thing ever.
Sure.
Needless to say, there was no way that I was earning enough money to play that game seriously. I kind of stopped when I was in college, when I had negative amounts of money. To put this in the time frame, I think I started during Mirrodin and I quit after Ravnica, I guess. Okay. Would be the, if for you, for you Magic heads out there, for the timeline that also ages.
That's right.
Me, so
I also don't know what those words mean, so there.
Okay.
You go. But that's, you know what, that's how Magic players feel about Netrunner players, when Netrunner are just playing the game. Like, Netrunner players are like, all right, cool, I'm gonna siphon your HQ, and then I'm gonna inside job
siphon
the remote.
Siphon your HQ? Like, what are we playing? Yeah, okay, yeah.
And the Magic players are like, you're not using words. Like, what are you saying?
Those aren't words. Well, I mean, that's what happened. I mean, when I listen to people play Five Rings, it's the same thing, right?
Yeah, so, that's true. Yeah. I'm gonna honor spam your... your deceit, I don't know.
I got honor all over the place, and I got plenty to go around.
So then how'd you get into Netrunner in the first place?
It was, I have lost track of all the years. I started playing Netrunner right when Sansan, I think it was around that time in the meta. I was just bored one day, you know, I ran out of things to do. One of my good friends, he was pretty into Netrunner at the time. I just checked it out. I lived in Minnesota at the time. I went to the friendly local neighborhood game store called Mead Hall.
I'm sure you're
familiar with a few people there. And then I shout outs to Melvin. He sold me the core set. I bought the Netrunner stuff, and I went home and I read the rules and put together that horrible Jinteki deck that came together with the first core set. You remember that?
It was so bad.
That was the worst core set ever. Next week I was at Mead Hall, just like this guy called Abram Jopp was like, yo, want to play? I'm like, yeah, sure. And I pulled out my core set Jinteki deck. It was great. It's my first ever game of Netrunner. Great experience. Needless to say, you know, Abram had no chance against the core set Jinteki deck played by somebody who just learned the game a week ago. But
it's about the damage.
It's about the damage. Yeah,
the disruption of the damage.
That core set Jinteki deck has some spicy June bugs and snares. But I mean, I was hooked. I was pretty bad for a while. Until something clicked in me, I was pretty bad for a while, but it's fun. It's one of those games that I just really like playing for the social aspect too, because there's a lot of talking in Netrunner, because yeah. you're always running servers and there's a lot of interactivity. So I like it for that aspect. I've never met someone I didn't like playing Netrunner against, and I stayed for the community, but everything else, it's a fun game.
Yeah, I like, one of my favorite parts about the kind of interactivity that Netrunner has is that very rarely is it like, I'm going to play a card to undo whatever it is that you were just going to do, right?
Right.
Like, there's not like a cancellation or like an interrupt that comes down and says like, oh, I'm going to cancel the thing you just did.
Yeah, yeah, and I think because it is that asymmetrical kind of card game, which by the way is insane, right? Because, you know, there's very rare that you see a card game like this.
Yeah.
Especially a deck building asymmetrical card game. But that kind of puts the whole idea of counter this, counter that, counter this, respond, react to that on tilt. It kind of tilts that level of balancing. Mm-hmm. So I think the way that interactivity kind of works in Netrunner, which is a topic that we can talk about for like ages.
Yeah, right.
But that just creates, it's just different. How do you say, you know, you can't really quantify it, but the whole thing works differently. And the way that the interactions are scripted is just on a different plane.
Hmm. Yeah. It creates a sort of complexity that you almost don't notice after you've been playing for a little bit. But there's so much going on, and the asymmetry of the game is mind-blowing, because it's essentially two sets of rules that fit together. So,
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating to me. So then what are some of your favorite decks or Netrunner strategies?
If we go back to earlier, before rotation, my favorite archetypes are Good Stuff Andy, mm-hmm. a criminal, where you put Account Siphon in Andy because you'd be crazy not to have it, and you put Desperado. I like how we've stopped. Thank goodness Desperado rotated, because I remember every time when we played Desperado, we would sing it, and then every time we run and get credits, we would see it. And now I bet you we'd be doing the Despacito thing, and then people would just stop playing Netrunner and be like, I'm done with this thing.
This
so,
meme is dead.
This Netrunner is just pop songs
make
and
a credit
memes. That's
when
how
you
we
run
play.
Desperado. Yeah,
no, exactly. Terrible. That's our meta is pop songs and memes. So
yeah.
You take Andy and you just shove good things into her. Now, granted, it's not the most creative deck to build, because you take Andy and you shove things into her.
Right, phrasing, though. You might want to.
Yeah, you shove things into the deck.
Okay.
you would have your, you know, you can do Stealth Andy, where you put Desperado, Account Siphon, Temujin Contract, Aaron Marin, why not? You know, you put good stuff in the deck, and then some silencers, and you put Switchblade and stupid good stuff, you know.
Right.
Or you'd have this Doomrig virus. You'd have this Doomrig Anarch setup where it's still the same Temujin, Aaron Marin. These cards, I haven't played with them a long time, but
I know it's hard to remember them all.
All that stuff, and then on top of it, you got Medium, you got Yogg, you got Corroder or Paperclip, depending on how much influence you have. It's just all that. And it's easy to build, and it's just good. And actually, to be honest, it was really easy to teach people Netrunner that way. I like Tempo Glaciers just in general,
sure.
Even now, where you build a big remote. You leave HQ in general open, because our current meta without Account Siphon lets us do that.
Yeah.
Though I'm ready for runners to start punishing corps who do that, because I see a lot of corps right now leaving HQ open. And you just jam agendas in your remote. And if you don't have agendas, you drag them over and over through the remote with stupid stuff like Moonbob Virtual Tour if you're on MBN, IPO, no, not IPO,
NGO
Front.
Yeah.
NGO Front. I like to throw some reversed accounts in there too, once in a while. And you can do that stuff.
So that's those things are often done out of controlling the message, or as Mari EdTech.
Yep.
Both NBN IDs. Are there other factions that can do something kind of similar, you think?
Yeah, you can do it out of green. You can do it out of Wayland.
Mm-hmm.
You set them up for out of Wayland and out of HB. You can set them up for a nice little Brian Stinson play if they run out of money.
Sure.
Yeah, out of Wayland, you can drop some stupid stuff like Price X behind there, and you hit him with a boom or hard hitting news into boom, yeah. Something like that. I see it out of purple once in a while. I actually have a deck that does that out of Palana. It's really funny.
Yeah, well, Palana's decent for rushing because it gives you credit every turn. So,
but those are the corp decks I like playing.
Well, I think we should just get into it because we're kind of listener. We are on the verge of the summer tournament season. At least it's summer in the northern hemisphere, and so we've got a regional season in front of us. There's also several nationals. Euros is coming up. Like tomorrow, sure. At the time of recording. A lot of tournaments in front of us, and Kevin and I are going to dissect what we think are going to be the decks showing up in the meta in our next segment, Precognition. Okay, so Kevin, we should touch base here. What data packs are out for the purposes of this discussion?
For posterity, I think we just had whispers of Nalubale.
Yeah, easy for you to say. Whispers of Nalubale, from Nalubale.
Nalubale.
In Nalubale is the preposition.
Whispers in Nalubale.
Nalubale.
Nalubale. Yeah.
Now today. Just today, in the U.S., they have released the last data pack of the Katara cycle, which is Kampala Ascendant.
Okay.
And that's been spoiled for a hot minute here, too, due to a
shipping error. So is that going to be legal in Euros or not?
It is not legal for Euros, but it will be legal for the Chicago Regionals, which is the next weekend and is most important to you and me because that's the next Regionals that you and I are going to go to.
Yep.
So, for the purposes of this discussion, I think all of Katara is going to be legal. And that's important because Kampala Ascendant, particularly for runners, is really going to shake up the meta here. So,
right.
Up to this point, Kevin, what's been good and what have you expected from the corps?
So, right now, what I think is going to be blue chips for the corps, low risk, relatively reliable return, is something purple. I think Asa or Architects of Tomorrow, I expect to be pretty good because it's rock chalk. You know, there's...
It's kind of tried and true, like...
Yeah, it's tried and true. You get your gingers out. Again, like, I like glaciers, and I like tempo glaciers, but... Yeah, glaciers right now, I think, are pretty good. You build a giant remote, and you ice up R&D2 and not give them that for free.
Yeah.
And then you just jam stuff in there. I think people are going to be on a lot of Ash because that's resistant to Film Critic.
Oh, and sure.
I think if you just get money, you can win. And right now, corps have a lot of tools to get money, which is very different than every meta we've had since the beginning of Netrunner.
Yeah, usually corps are pulling off these pretty intense combos that just don't have a lot of counterplay.
The fact that we have, I think NGO Front has done a lot for this meta because NGO Front does two things at the same time. It's a trap and it gets you money.
Sure. So NGO Front is an asset. You can advance it once or twice. Mm-hmm. And you get money back for having advanced it at instant speed. So you can install, double advance it in a remote. The runner runs through the remote. Then when they say, okay, I'm ready to access, you res it and trash it. And if you've got two advancements, you gain 8 credits back. And they've spent all of their time and money getting through this server.
I also like Azmari EdTech. I think Azmari EdTech, and this might be a little bit of bias that I see in our current meta, but I see Azmari a lot. I think that Azmari rush deck that the big boy put together is pretty good, but I do think it could be a little flimsy at times. So I'm not sure if that exact list is gonna. So that thing is you drop a Mani Sinai down, and then you put stuff in a light remote, and you just gear check them forever using endless ULA.
So Armani Sinai forces a trace every time an agenda is scored or stolen.
Yep.
And the trace is to bounce one of the runner's installed cards back to their hand, correct?
Yes, that's exactly correct. And what you do is once you feel that the runner, you name program, or you know, it depends, right? It all depends. But once you start have your gear check pieces down, you name program.
With the Azmari AD.
With Azmari's ID.
And whatever type you name, if the runner plays or installs that type of card, you gain two credits on your
deck. Now, Endless EULA is super good because it's just no matter what gear the runner has, it's expensive to break.
Right.
So, I mean, Endless EULA isn't gear check, it's time check. Right.
Yeah, it's purely taxing because they don't even need a breaker to get through it. It has it's a barrier with six subs, but each sub says end the run unless the runner pays one. So and the runner can just pay six and go through it.
No, I think the master stroke in that deck is especially early intermediate game. Let's say that they can get through your endless ULA and that's the only thing sitting in front of it, or you know it's an Enigma or something, and they have their decoder out, and they get your agenda. Amani Sinai does work because they just paid six, seven, eight. You know, with the Enigma there too, so they're probably going to be broke and can't beat the trace, especially since they just paid you two to install their Gordian Blade, and they steal the agenda, and then you bounce the Gordian Blade back. They probably stole a sell endorsement, which will give you more money, and then next turn you jam something else in, and then you just go there.
And you just keep doing that until
and then you trade. Win. And then you keep doing that until you win. So you step forward and they step back, or you step back or they step forward and you force them to step back again, because cards are in your hand, and if you drive them into the remote, they have to play your game. And I think that's a really cool deck because, and it forces runners to do things that they aren't ready to do yet. And that and you know that's basically what Rush is.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the power of any kind of tempo deck that we talked about earlier is that. You are forcing the runner to run before they're comfortable, or every play that you make
is
either forwarding your board state or rewinding theirs.
So what's beautiful here, to use a chess term, if they deny your queen's gambit, if they deny the gambit and they don't run and let you score your agenda first out and they want to get their gear up, Amani Sinai procs on your agenda scores too. So if you score out a 5-3, Amani Sinai fires, and their whatever rig that they're building just takes a huge step back.
Yeah.
You score and they have a lot of things like a lot of tools like Jeeves, which threatens never advance a 4-2. You know, everything is never advanceable, and when a Sinai's on the table, it can ruin them.
So before Azmari came out, I think controlling the message was the go-to NBN tempo ID. So why do you like Azmari over CTM for this upcoming season?
I don't like CTM as much because I think there's going to be a little bit of link floating around. There's a lot of bad pub floating around. And I feel like people have kind of learned how to play against CTM.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why. I feel like Freedom Kumalo, if people are going to play some Freedom at regionals, which there might be, that thing is really good against CTM because all your trash costs are a lot less now.
Right. So Freedom, which we're going to talk about a little bit more, is a new Anarch ID that can trash cards for virus counters.
Yep.
And they only have to spend virus counters equal to the res cost.
Right.
So CTM classically plays a lot of stuff that has like four or five trash cost, but only costs between zero and two to res. So Freedom can spend basically no money to trash this stuff, which means that now you're not doing the tempo plays that you want to be doing.
Yeah.
I mean, you still got the CTM trace.
It's still annoying, but you lose a lot less tempo, especially Moonbob Virtual Tour. That thing is really bitten against Freedom.
Yeah.
I also feel like we're getting some, we're seeing a lot of Max James, I think, because Max James attacks its face check, gear check, and attacks runner corp economy kind of all at the same time.
Yeah.
And that gives you Link. And yeah, I think there's going to be some, I think people are going to be playing with a little bit of Link.
Yeah.
That's just my guess.
Now, the nice thing about controlling the message is that it fires that trace to give you a tag whenever you go to trash something. And we've recently seen a pair of Anarch Ice Destruction cards come out.
Yeah.
So that could be a help or a deterrent, depending on which way you look at it. Help for the CTM matchup, but I'm not convinced it's going to be enough. Whenever I'm playing CTM right now, I feel like I'm constantly like digging for the right card in the right situation, and meanwhile the runner's board state is just able to build up so much faster. Maybe right. I'm not able to present the right threats. I don't know.
Well, you can tell on the topic of ice destruction, you can tell FFG learned its lesson because it is so hard to trash ice now. Right?
Yes, as it
Cutlery
should be.
Is the best option to trash ice, and it's basically an Anarch exclusive. And I'm actually surprised you don't see a lot of Cutlery. To be totally honest, I kind of don't have the answer to why we don't see more Cutlery. That said, yeah, Cutlery is, besides that, Hippo is, I'd like to see how people play Hippo. It's, obviously it's not out yet, so I've never had it played against me. It looks like it could be pretty dangerous. Trypano is kind of annoying. Not going to lie there.
Yeah. Hippo and Trypano being very the two fair, though. New ice destruction cards. They each will, like Trypano trashes a piece of ice once Trypano gets 5 virus tokens on
Parasite
it.
Parasite replacement, yep.
It ticks slowly because it gains 1 to counter a turn, but if you have other virus support cards, maybe you can speed that up.
I love it because it's so fair, I feel, because you see it from a mile away because they have to play the Trypano, and then you're able to plan around it. And that's what makes a good net, in general, it makes a good netrunner play when you open windows for counterplay. There's nothing fun about a clone chip Parasite that you just data sucker to death. You don't have, you can't do anything. There's nothing you can do. Obviously, the only thing you can do is not let them have so many data sucker tokens, but you know, it's, you can't it's play around that this, in the long run. That's
for those
nice.
Who aren't familiar with Hippo, it's a new piece of hardware for the Anarchs that says the first time you break all subs on the outermost piece of ice during a run each turn, you can remove Hippo from the game to trash that piece of ice. So it's non-recurrable, it's unique, but and it has to be the first piece of ice in the outermost
position.
I love
how transparent it is that they are just absolutely making sure we don't ever see Diaper again. You know, it's like every single clause there is just like, we remember from False Echo, you know? with Trypano and Hippo, I think it's fine. However, and this is what I love, you can still make really, really high impact plays. It just takes time. And it turns into this game then, right?
Where a game, the corp, cool.
Huh, it's almost like this is a game. but you know what I mean, right? Because now the corp can plan. It's like, okay, I might lose my toll booth. I need to do something. You know, what can I do? Well, I can drop with, in the terms of Hippo, right? Let's put a pop-up window in front of my toll booth now, right? Boom.
Right.
There, counterplay to Hippo, right?
Because Hippo specifically says not only the first ice that you break subs on, but the ice that's in the outermost position.
Right.
So you can always protect it, even if they're just going to let the pop-up subs fire.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And then, or with Trypano, it's like, okay, we can do a tactical purge, or we can figure some stuff out. You know, we have time now. It's like, okay, maybe I'll lose this piece of ice. Let's get some money and let's replace it, you know?
Yep.
And that's what's nice. And so you can play with it. So I'm not too afraid of this ice destruction. I'm scared to death of Cutlery coming back because, honestly, it's kind of not a reason it shouldn't be.
And now there's a critical mass of tools. You know, I think the nice thing about Parasite before is that it didn't, you didn't need to match up the type of Cutlery with the type of ice.
I think especially now, corps are starting to get a little bit of money, so they're starting to get a little cocky, and I'm starting to see a lot of fat ice. So we see a lot of Tollbooth. We see a lot of we see a little bit of DNA tracker. I have this little Palana deck, and I got some Anansi in there.
Yeah, Anansi's a good piece of ice.
I bet you we're going to see some Hydra. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Hydra, the deck type, out of Jinteki.
No, I meant Hydra, the ice.
In Rain and Reverie?
Yeah, in Rain and Reverie. Yeah. I mean, in the future. I'm thinking ahead of time, right?
Yeah.
You know, but... So yeah, so that's what I'm thinking. We might see next Diamond. Okay, that might be pushing it, but.
Well, you know, you brought up a tempo deck out of HB,
right?
And one of the cards I'm most excited about from Katara that I haven't gotten a chance to use yet is the 4/2 Agenda Remote Enforcement. When you score it out, you get to search your deck for a piece of ice, install it, and then res it for free.
Right.
So next Diamond costs 10. Possibly less if you have other next ice out in front, but it's this big old 6 strength sentry that does a bunch of brain damage, and you get to trash a runner card, and so it's definitely not something people are going to run through very often, if ever. So scoring out the remote enforcement, pulling up one of these next diamonds is like such a power play in terms of tempo.
Right.
So definitely think that's something that could show up, although I haven't seen a lot of that around, but I think it would be really good out of like Asa Group or something.
Right. So we've been on this big tangent, but so that's the decks we think we're going to see at regionals, right? We'll see some Titan as usual. That deck's never bad.
Yeah, I was going to bring up Wayland here. I think not only is Titan going to be consistently good, which is just a pure rush deck using the agenda counter that you get from the Titan ID, along with the Atlas agenda. Yep. When you over-advance Atlas, you get an agenda counter on it. Agenda counters can be spent to search your deck for anything, such as the next Atlas.
Right,
so
exactly.
You're just basically either jamming out an Atlas every turn, or you are combining it with various fast advanced tools trying to essentially score out between turns 8 and 10.
I start seeing NGO front of that deck list as well. Really astute Titan players, they grab an agenda with their Atlas. Now, Atlas, you have to show them, right?
Right, remember what the card is, yeah.
They grab GFI or something using their Atlas token. They jam and double install NGO front when they
double
think that the runner can just get in, but they pretend that they don't know that, but they do, because the piece of ice that's face down is actually like vanilla or something stupid,
right?
And then or something a little bit more taxing, and the runner blows all their stuff trying to get in, and then now you have a wider scoring window to actually get that 5/3 out. It's a nice little play. NGO front's just so good.
NGO front, you know, enables a lot of stuff,
so that's a nice really little like. Again, it turns a lot of decks into that, giving you a tempo play, you know. And
right
now, I love tempo plays, so I think that's
tempo cool. plays feel like Core Netrunner, because you're creating scoring windows. That's essentially what you're doing.
Right.
But tempo decks tend to do it in a multi-step process, I think.
Right. The fact that you can get that in Titan Rush is super, super...
real cool.
Super fun. Yeah.
As opposed to the Days of Old, which was like, jam an agenda behind an ice wall. Fingers crossed that you don't draw into your tutor so that you can find your barrier breaker.
Yeah. Now, in terms of Jinteki,
Oh, but you know what? Before we move on...
Yeah.
No, you're good. Another Wayland deck... We talked about how I don't expect to see Scorpios. I agree with you. But surprise of the cycle is that SSO Industries, the new Wayland ID, is actually not trash.
I'm afraid of that thing.
It is surprising how effective it can be, particularly in a meta of runners that have sort of like a big rig engine that they're kind of setting up.
Yeah.
Because it punishes the runner for basically letting that first agenda go. So SSO lets you place advancement counters at the end of your turn for every point that's on face of agendas. So it runs 2 5/3 agendas that have the public subtype, which means that they get installed face up. They usually have some sort of benefit for being a face-up agenda, because you can never bluff those, right?
Right.
But what they'll do is they'll jam down 2 pieces of ice and then a Hollywood Renovation, which is one of those 5/3s. Then at the end of your turn, you get to put 3 advancement tokens on an ice. Your next turn, you double advance the Hollywood, and install another piece of ice, and then you put three advancements on that piece of ice. And right. meanwhile, the runner can't get in, but rather than just giving up points, you're also gaining, like, you're also giving up board state because of how much better their ice is getting.
So we all have a little bit of Will Brown in us.
Yes. Right?
So I started
Will Brown, friend of the podcast, that's right.
A little bit of a spicy meatball where you're running a public casting call. Okay. Now, casting call and government takeover.
Okay. I see where this is going. Casting call.
So.
Casting call lets you install an agenda face up, and then if the runner steals that agenda, they get two tags. Yep. Government takeover is a 9-cost, 6-point agenda. Yep. So you can install this 6-point agenda face up in SSO.
Yeah, and then you get 6 tokens.
That's a lot of tokens.
They get 6 tokens on that nebula. It's turn 1, by the way. Install government takeover, casting call. 6 tokens on your face down ice, which is like better be like Adawada or like Nebula or just
Adawada. Odadua, I believe.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Or Masvingo, the one that gains subs.
Masvingo, I like that. Or oh man, we don't have Woodcutter anymore. Ah.
Oh man, the one time in your life where you were like, damn, I wish I had Woodcutter. That was a bad piece of ice.
Yeah, you know, there's that's insane. No, the deck is not any good, but it's really funny. And then what you can do eventually is if you leave it, you can double advance it and get more tokens everywhere, and then just Red Planet Couriers or something stupid. You know, right. I mean? It's like just dumb stuff. Man, I wish we could Beal. That'd be fun. Beal was... Can you imagine if Beal was green? Whew, that'd be...
Oh, yeah, you could put it in Titan and get, like, make it a 3-3 agenda instead of a 3-3
agenda. Put it in Jemison. Ooh, yeah, that'd be funny in Jemison.
As part of one of the online cash refresh leagues, Sanjay once made a deck that was a Red Planet Courier's CI deck.
Okay.
And he used priority construction to get out a bunch of counters.
That sounds like the worst thing ever, but okay, yeah.
Okay, but, you know, his remote would be abominable, and then he used the CI identity to, like, protect his hand a little bit so he could kind of get the cards that he needed. Because he needed to find a Red Planet Couriers.
Okay.
And so then he would use Red Planet Couriers to score out a Project Ares.
My goodness.
Project Ares is a 4-2. If you score it out normally, nothing happens. If you over-advance it, for every advancement counter beyond 4, you get to trash a card, an installed runner card. And then you take a bad pub at the end of it. So normally you can, like, double advance it and then triple advance it and then trash a card. Because now you've over-advanced it once. But with Red Planet Couriers, you move all the advancement counters on all of your ice, and hopefully you've got, like, 9, you know, or 12 counters, and you just move them all onto Project Ares. You score it out.
You wipe the runner's board.
Yeah, you trash 8 runner cards, and you're like...
That's actually really funny. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. That's pretty
hysterical.
Good.
It's hysterical. It's not effective, because it is like a 10-card combo.
You know what? I know we're going to talk about CI for a little bit. Are we done talking about Wayland? Can we
go back? Yeah, let's move on from Wayland. I think SSO and Titan
are there. Back to the purple cards.
Okay.
Okay? We're going back to the purple cards. So I mentioned that we might see some Asa, we might see some AOT. We're definitely going to see some AI, I think. Or CI. CI. And I know a lot of people hate CI and wish CI was banned. And I kind of am in that camp. Okay? But
sure.
God bless CI and its ability to make us for us to just come up with this most ridiculous jank.
Right.
This game would be so much less if we couldn't do a Red Planet Couriers Project Ares deck. Like, God damn it! I want a Red Planet Couriers. That sounds like so much fun. And CI is what it is. It's jank enabler. And let's be honest, all the good CI decks, like the World Championship winning deck, that started as jank.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? The 7-point CI started as jank. And it's just optimized jank. And then when jank becomes optimized, people cry because it's not real Netrunner. I mean, okay, yeah, it's not. But, you know, I don't know, man. Like, Netrunner...
It's like the circle of life for Netrunner, right?
Right, right.
Like,
it's like...
You take a bad card, and you put it with another bad card, and you start making jank. But then you, like, optimize that jank, and it becomes too good. So then it gets MWL'd or something.
Right. I mean, you know that phrase, like, you know, everyone's a hero. You're a hero until you, like... you become the villain or something like that, right? Everyone loves a hero, and then eventually they become a villain. It's like everyone loves jank until the jank becomes so good that everyone hates it.
Right.
You know, that's just this is how it works. Right.
So you brought up Jinteki a minute ago. What do you expect to see out of them?
Palana. I think Palana's going to be good. I still see that. I mean, from Sword Champs a little bit. Again, because Tempo Glaciers are good, I think Palana's still good.
Sure.
I have a little Palana list right now that is pretty effective against Film Critic in the remote, which I'm pretty happy about.
That's good.
That's what I brew against, you know, because I know what people are on. And the nice thing about Palana is that Employee Strike doesn't hurt it that much. And I see more a little bit more Employee Strike than Film Critic.
That's interesting to me. I do too, so I agree.
Right. But I mean, let's be honest here. Half the time when we play Palana, we Employee Strike ourselves because we just forget it.
Right.
We just forget to take the credit. You know what I mean? I'm so used to just like, oh yeah, it's actually training. I'm just training myself for playing against Employee Strike. Every time I miss the trigger, it's like, no man, I'm training myself for playing against.
Playing out of hard mode here. That's what.
Right. Exactly. But now that you give Palana money, you even see Jinteki Glaciers, and Jinteki has a lot of fun Glacier toys.
A lot of really good Glacier toys. I mean, Nisei Mark II is a core set agenda, and it's one of the best agendas, period.
Do you remember that game where, by the way, there's also, if you get, the really nice thing about Palana Glacier is, at least my list, but there's a lot of lists out there that run similar things. My list is spicy secret sauce because I might take it for regionals, but eventually once the late game goes, you can get that Obokata project out and they can't do anything about it if you're on four, because you can build this board state where like you cannot steal anything out of the remote.
Oh, right.
Remember that game I had against you where I had four pieces of ice? Now, granted, like two of them are just pop stupid stuff that you can break by that point, but you can have the best rig in the world and you're not getting into that, stealing that Obokata, because I rest data loop. And you broke it the first time, and then I code replicated it to make you hit the data loop again. Right?
So stupid. Data loop makes the runner put two cards from their hand on top of their deck on encounter.
Right.
And then code replicator makes you encounter a piece of ice again. So Kevin was basically like, here, put four cards from your hand on top of your deck, and then take four net damage to steal this Obokata.
Right. The second time, the funny thing is, you have to break the data loop again. So you ran out of money.
Right. Right.
That's the nice thing. The code replicator doesn't just say you hit the on encounter effect. No, you have to break the subs again. You know.
Yeah.
So I really like that.
Significant. Also, yeah. do you think with one of these Jinteki decks that it's got to be like a particular like special rig, or is it mostly just like we're just gonna put a bunch of good ice in here with some ash and call it a day?
Punch a good taxing ice with ash, I think, is what I'm gonna see. Pop up windows to keep you a little bit rich. I like pop up windows over centrals because eventually the runner's gonna give up and try to run your central and get stuff. And you if you don't pay attention to your R&D, you can definitely lose that way. So you do need to be careful of that R&D. Don't just like put one pop up window and call it a day. I think that Palana deck, I mean, that thing's been around for a while. Glacier out of Palana has been played since Palana was out, right? People used to run terrible cards like Palana Agriplex out of it. Now that we have more money.
And more draw,
Palana's even better now.
Yeah.
Right? So I think we might see potatoes just because there's no tech against it. And if you're looking where there's no tech, potatoes is pretty good.
Yeah, and that's the potential unleashed deck where you're just trying to mill out the runner, essentially. Unleashed, it means that when you take net damage, you also transfer the top card of your deck. So you are sort of increasing how much damage you do to the runner's HP if you think of their entire deck as like their health bar.
Especially since we see very little Larla nowadays. The Levy Air Lab Research.
Yeah, so, now that's restricted.
Yep. So, I mean, same thing as Worlds, right? But...
Right.
Yeah, so that's the state of the meta. I'm really bad at predicting metas, but I would bet you that the winning deck is probably some kind of Glacier where they just jam things and have NGOs and drag the runner through.
Yeah.
That's just my guess.
Probably. I will say that I do have a spicy pick for some regional somewhere.
Okay.
It's going to be won by the new Jinteki ID.
Okay.
which is, I'm pulling it out right now.
Mwint Makendu, Life Improved, or something like
that. Yeah, it's Matim Mwekundo.
I have enough trouble pronouncing normal things. I cannot do this. This set has been very challenging for me.
These like African-inspired names.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's Matim Mwekundo. Once per turn, when the runner approaches a server, they get past all the ice, they approach the server, you can install a piece of ice protecting that server in the innermost position. The runner is now approaching it, which means you can assumedly res said ice.
Right.
So not only are you, ignoring the install costs by installing in the innermost position, but more importantly, you're choosing an ice in the moment that they run. So if they don't have the breaker for it or a way to deal with it, they're in trouble.
Now, I think when something like this comes out, it reminds me of when Ag Infusion came out. The first thing you do is your mind goes to Jank.
Right.
Right? And I think that actually is the right way to develop an idea. But I think this deck, this ID, eventually, once it settles down and more conservative deck building schools of thought start taking all the fun away, because Netrunner is all about winning.
Right.
This will almost play like a purple deck, because really at the end of the day, this is a click save.
Mm.
Right? Now it's a click save that also takes away runner safety, because exacerbate is a bad word, because that implies that it's bad. It increases the importance of hidden information, which is always super fun in Netrunner if it's designed correctly.
Yes.
But ice is inherently hidden information, so whatever, right? That's good. It creates a sense of forcing the runner to see an ice that sometimes otherwise they might not see. But at the end of the day, I mean, this when you sit down across the table from a Miti Mwekundo player, you know what they're going to do to you. So you run a naked remote, or you run a one ice remote, and you get through the ice. You know the second piece of ice is coming. It's basically, you know, I mean, they just put the ice there. If the piece of ice was already there face down, it's the same thing, right?
Sure. So they get a little bit of flexibility in that, like
they
can hold on
yes.
to the ice, and then if you're like, oh, indexing, you're like, ah. I'm glad I held on to this. I would have put it on my remote, but now I'm going to put it on R&D.
Of course. The corp gets flexibility. They get to choose. They get to pick the perfect piece of ice right there. And that's obviously really powerful for the corp in some situations. I'm ready. I don't know, to be honest, right?
Yeah.
I see it can make gear checks really good, because even if you don't install any ice, you're gear checking them, and you can snipe gear check them. Like, they got two pieces. Oh, too bad I have a barrier. You know, oh, they have a decoder and a fractor. Got them with a sentry. You know, that is super nice.
Yes.
So it forces the runner to take their time, and you can play some sick gambits. You can install double advance something naked if they only have one breaker out, because now you force them to play two breakers. You know, if they want six safety. And I feel, especially against new players, they are so terrified of Jinteki.
In general, right.
In general. And that kind of takes that to the next level. It's going to be very interesting. I have not yet brewed anything with this, obviously. It's not out yet for me.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But is a Team Mwekundo going to take a regional somewhere?
I think so.
You think so?
That is a bold prediction, but I think it is weird enough, and people are going to have to learn to play around it, and before they do, it's going to win a regional.
Okay. I can't wait to see inside jobs be played against naked servers.
I know.
Team Mwekundo.
Oh my gosh. There's definitely ways around it. Like, if you just have an SFC on the table, it's like, all right, great.
But, exactly.
What's an ID pick for you for Corp to win a regional?
Like a weird one or one I
No, just one that you think is going to win a regional.
A CI is going to win a regional. I think a CI is going to win a regional. So.
Interesting.
I feel like after Worlds, everyone thought it's like, oh, CI is not good anymore. No, everyone just got tired of playing CI.
That's exactly what it was.
We're settling down for a little bit. But, you know, once the gloves are off, we're right back on it. Secret Tech. I have a few candidates that I'm ready to grind out for regionals, and I brewed a fresh little CI all by myself, and some revisiting an old flame. And okay. That is one of the candidates that I'm considering for regionals. So
okay.
So if I'm doing it, other people have got to be doing it, because I am not exactly the most original hip Netrunner trendsetter.
Yeah.
You know, so I have people better at the game than me might also be seeing the same thing, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay, so what have we been seeing out of runners recently?
We're going to see Anarchs. But Anarchs, I feel like everywhere. A lot of people... So the list that we've seen, right? There's Regis Max. I hate Max. Like, I'm so bad at playing Max. But
Max is tricky. Like, you know, you can listen Max to Max. My recent episode all about Max.
Yeah, I know. I hate Max. I don't know. I lost it at our last GNK against this Max God of War deck, and I'm just like, oh no, you know.
Oh, pickle sticks.
Well, hey, I mean, yellow is not as prevalent anymore. Even a lot of the yellow decks are cutting their psychographics, you know, so there's that.
Yeah, but what about that new meat damage card that does damage equal to the number of tags you have?
That's going to be good. I do like that thing. But yeah, we'll see Anarch. I am less high on Val just because I feel like a lot of people have learned how to play against Val. And a lot there's... I'll see. I think Val is still great.
Val is still really good. I kind of don't like how much better Val is than basically everyone else. Like, everyone else has to work so much harder
right.
at doing basically what Val does, which is, like, get down 2 to 3 bad publicity and then just run a bunch.
Right.
It's insane.
Max, Max is Max Val. You know, and there's also these different flavors, too. I'm on the Reyna deck with Nexus, and it's really funny. I am not sure about playing that deck competitively because if you rush, it's tricky in that matchup.
That's my problem with 419 as well, like a 419 security Nexus build.
All those system decks are cool when you play with your friends, but competitively, when the gloves are off and the corp is just they know what to do against you, or like they play this matchup a lot of times, they kind of know what to do, and it turns into this race. And sometimes you have the nuts and the cards come and you install things and you can keep up with the corp. Other times you don't, and when you give the goddess of luck, you know, when you have her determine how you finish at a regional, it's never going to do well. Right. Play your cards. Don't rely on that. You know, Netrunner is a card game, right? There's always a lot of luck everywhere. But, I mean, a lot of matchups where you have to get a system out, let me tell you what, it's at Worlds or at Regionals when it's going to be the one game where none of your cards come. And
yes.
In a system deck, that is fatal. In a deck that's more flexible, sometimes you can still get through it, right? There was one time at a store champ where I played Aesop Steve, and my 3 Aesop's punch ups were in the bottom 10 cards of my deck.
And the whole deck runs off of the Aesop's.
Oh, yeah, like so really I lost 7-0. I lost 7-0. God. Picked up my deck, and there was 3 Aesop's in the last 10 cards, which I almost drew to because that's you know what I mean.
You spent so much time drawing that darn.
Right, exactly. And so if your entire deck is that, then you're not gonna be able to really keep up.
Yeah.
I think Shapers are still good. I like Kit.
That's an interesting call. Tell me what it is that you like about Kit right now.
Kit is nice because Kit is fast. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Kit's fast. She can gear check really easily, and I think a lot of the really fast, hyper tempo decks can get through that. I also like Kit because late game, she's also good. Because she can get through deep glaciers.
Right.
Kit's weakness is if your econ is Mobus, they can bait you through NGOs or never advanced BS.
Yeah.
So that's why you need Stim Hack, and you need to be able to read your opponent, and you need to maintain central pressure and all your basic fundamental Netrunner stuff. The thing I like about Kit is that she doesn't have a lot of bad matchups that are really, that I predict to be really common in the meta. I think Kit's safe. Am I saying that a Kit's going to dominate, that Kit decks are going to dominate regionals? No. But I think Kit is very safe for now.
Sure. And because Kit's turning that first piece of ice every turn into a code gate and then usually doing some other trick somewhere, you know, you, if you really want to keep her out, you need like three deep ice. And with tempo decks, you're rarely getting to three deep ice.
The problem with Kit is if they are playing against deep glaciers, again, then the tricks become more brutal. And Mopus can't keep up in that regard.
Right.
Because you start getting scoring windows that are wider. That's another thing. So you have to leverage that early gear check. But I think Kit's going to be good.
Yeah. What else for Shapers aside from Haley. Kit?
Haley, I'm not convinced, though. I'm not really convinced with Haley.
Are you thinking like Pirate Haley with all the stuff that breaks weird subroutines in weird ways?
Yeah, or... but... Yeah, like Pirate Haley. I don't know. I don't know about Pirate Haley. I played it a few times. It gets tagged, and then you die. You know.
Yeah, it's one of those decks to me that is like, I don't know. I feel like it's.
I feel like it's a gimmick.
Two paths to victory and only two paths to victory.
I feel like it's a gimmick. Yeah, sure. It gets really good, with gear check, and it'll probably beat the crap out of like those Titan Rush decks.
It does, because, you know, you need, like, one grappling hook.
Right.
And then you can get through
really
any
good
of their
against
ice
the Yasmari
because they
tempo
always
deck.
Have one subroutine that's, like, gain a credit.
Right.
So it's like, okay, you can gain a credit, and then I'll get through and steal your gem.
But then, you know, against things like Argus or things like CTM, granted, those are things that I don't think are going to be the centerpiece of the meta.
Sure.
But you just don't have too many options, or you have to play super tight, and... Maybe some people can. I think Wilfie Haley's always good.
Yeah, which is basically just like a lock shaper.
Yep.
Wilfie Haley specifically would use Laguna Velasco and Levy as its restricted card. And so then Laguna just lets you draw two cards for a click. And so you just draw your deck. You have a bunch of one-ofs for whatever situation you need.
Yeah. And then
it's high skill floor for that kind of deck because you can mess it up pretty hard if you aren't installing the right cards.
And I think Woo is underrated. I think we might get some nice spicy Woo. And
yeah, I have a guy
cannot
in my testing group who's on Woo, and he got like done with his Woo deck, and he was like, "Wait a second, I don't have a restricted card." So right now he's playing around with Mopus as like late game economy,
right?
But he might switch over to Strike, Employee Strike.
Why not?
Or
Film Critic or Strike? Yeah, I like that.
Yeah,
very.
I don't
interesting.
Know. I think Film Critic is just
what's
so
his
good
payload?
In general
what
that
he
like
Woo
you should
for?
Just put in Film Critic, but.
Yeah, what's his payload? What does he move for? Or is this like secret info or...
Yeah, right. No, he's just... he's using Woo for the consistency. One is if he feels like he wants Magnum Opus in this specific matchup, he pulls up Magnum Opus right away.
Okay.
Listener, if you don't know, Woo lets you search your deck for any program, but then at the end of your turn, you have to remove that program from the game if it's still installed. So typically you use Woo to pull up Magnum Opus, Woo to pull up Self-Modifying Code, and then Self-Modifying Code's trash ability is search your deck for any program. So you're using Woo as an indirect way to like instantly install Self-Modifying Codes and therefore other programs from your deck. So that's like a primary thing. There's like gimmicky versions of Woo that use like origami and stuff to like max out your hand size or Au Revoir to get like a weird jackout engine going, and he's not doing anything like that.
I wonder a program on a stick version of Woo that runs Larla would be feasible at all.
Possibly. I think you can use like Customized Secretary as draw in that case.
Oh jeez.
I know. I know what my buddy's been switching to. Instead of... He took out the Magnum Opus and he put in Aesops.
Okay.
And so... Which I don't love in Woo because it's like... Anything that you pull up with Woo is either going to get trashed or RFG'd. So you're not going to be selling it to Aesops. So he does have Paperclip in there with his Aesops deck. And he's also on Sahas Raras. And so he's just got like 20 programs. And he installs the programs for cheap or free... with or without Woo.
Is
and
Woo
then
G-mod?
Does a bunch of stuff, and then he'll Aesop the paperclip, and knowing that he can install it for free later, so.
My god. Is Woo G-mod?
I don't know.
I'm just saying, could you DJ Fenris in?
DJ Fenris! Yeah, DJ Fenris is an upcoming card from Reign of Reverie that lets you like host a Gmod ID on DJ Fenris, and then you get that ID's ability.
Yeah.
Kabanisa Wu is indeed a Gmod.
Sick! Get ready for some hype!
So, whatever that
is. I don't see... I think it's not going to be as good on Fenris as you think, because Fenris is kind of a mid to late game card, in my opinion.
I think it's limit one per deck, isn't it?
Right. It's also limit one per deck, so have fun getting it, you know, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I'm actually not as excited about that card as a lot of people. I just don't think it's... You look at the Gmod IDs, it's like, none of these are going to help me.
Right. Well, it's the same thing that Rebirth did, right? When they spoiled Rebirth, we were like, oh my god, you're breaking the game, you can switch IDs, that's crazy! And then, like, in practice... It's like,
I mean, no, in practice, you see Rebirth a lot, because, like,
in Rebirth and Val.
Well, we used to Rebirth out of Andy, too.
Right.
But then it's like, Rebirth Andy into Ian, or Rebirth Andy into Geist? No, not Geist, Leela. Rebirth Andy into Nero. Gabe. Rebirth into Gabe.
Oh, sure.
That's a pretty value. Sure. But you know what? Honestly, half the time, I like Andy's Link. You know?
Right.
I like Andy's Link. Oh man, we forgot. See, that Criminals used to be so good. Andy, you get Desperado and you get a Link. So when you make a successful run on CTM, you get $1 from Desperado and you have a piece of Link. Their Trace 4 just got a lot crappier.
Right. Can you imagine freaking mining accident out of good stuff, Andy?
Oh no, I cannot.
That would have been dope. Get some bad pub in there too.
Yeah, we almost might see Criminals play again in the meta. Bring Andy back.
Bring back Andy.
Now we're talking about Criminals.
Criminals, right? Yeah.
We're done with Shapers, right? No one thinks that we're gonna see some Nasir. Wait, you don't think we're gonna see a Nasir one regional, right?
No, maybe an Exile.
Exile, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Criminals. Do you think any Criminal has a chance?
So, the only Criminal decks we've seen in 2018 that have done really much of anything is Aesop's Steve, which is fine at best. We've seen the Security Nexus 419 deck, which I think suffers from the same problem that all Security Nexus decks is that they are just... Security Nexus just costs too much. Like if you're playing against a corp that dirtles about for a little bit, then you're fine. But in a competitive environment, the corps are too fast, right? And then the only other deck that I've seen is the GPI NetTap Amakua deck out of Silhouette or 419.
I hate that deck.
And it's really rough to play against, but at the same time, like, if you go fast and if they don't find just their cards that they need, then they're, like, totally out of it. Like, it's just,
I install it's not consistent enough,
I don't think.
A CVS in my remote while scoring agendas, and then they plant into Fairchild or like DNA tracker or something, and I just res a purge on them.
Right.
You know?
And I think that play is going to be really strong.
Yeah.
Because we skipped over this part of the Anarchs, but I actually want to touch on the new virus stuff. But we'll come back to that. I think Diversion of Funds is going to be enough to bring Criminal back.
Yeah, because you remember when Steve first came out and we haven't had rotation yet. People like slotting Siphons in there because it makes Steve really, 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 really good because, yay, auto-recurring Siphons. What's more fun than that?
Right.
It's going to be a little bit like that.
Diversion of Funds, if you are not familiar with it yet because it is brand new and just came out, it is a one-cost double Criminal event that makes a run on HQ, and if successful, instead of accessing cards... You drain the corp 5 credits, and then you gain an equal amount of credits to the credits drained.
But I think we might see a little bit of Steve, but...
I think 419 might be okay with a Siphon Spam deck, because he already taxes you a little bit.
So I guess Diversion Spam?
Diversion Spam.
Spam, yeah. I just think Criminals are in a really bad place in the meta right now. Diversion of Funds is going to help, but I don't think it's enough. They need programs.
They need stuff. Diversion is going to be a big difference. I think there's going to be a regional somewhere where criminals win, but it's going to be mostly Anarch and Shaper.
Do a little bit of thought experiment, right? What are the only criminal cards that people regularly import?
Amakua.
Okay.
Career Fair.
Okay.
Siphon.
Diversion of Funds. Okay, yeah, now.
I think there's going to be a max deck that wins a regional that's got two Diversion of Funds in it. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. God.
Okay, yeah. So I want to back it up to the new suite of viruses that we alluded to earlier. Freedom Kumalo is this exciting ID that's sort of like Super Ed Kim if you've got the virus tokens to support it, where you can trash a card by spending virus tokens equal to its res or play cost. Do you think he's good enough to win a regional?
To win a regional somewhere out there? Yeah, probably. I think you can right now. There's a lot of viruses, and you can make something and it make it pretty good. I like the toys that he has and the system. Again, it's a system deck, but being Anarch, everything's good with Anarch. So,
yeah,
you know, you can do it.
Can you imagine, like, a year or two ago, thinking of how, like, the best econ engine in the game is just Career Fair, Daily Cast, Sure Liberated. Gamble, Dirty Laundry, Liberated. And Liberated Account.
Yeah. No, I cannot.
No. That's, no one played Liberated Account.
Yeah. And now it's the best econ card in the game, which is okay with me, because you know what?
It's a lot more interesting. Let
Corpse play for once. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I've seen that Freedom deck that's been going around that uses Virus Breeding Grounds. I like that. My favorite is where you have like two Virus Breeding Grounds and then you click to charge a Tripano, you know, after a few turns, and you get to trash it, and then you run, and then you pop Max James, and it's kind of fun, and it's still fair because the click with Virus Breeding Ground is, I mean, that takes away tempo.
Right.
Right. So it's a fair trade. Yeah, it's a fair trade.
Yeah.
The viruses, I'm not sure I really like using Musazi and
Yusuf.
And Yusuf.
The two virus-based icebreakers.
Right. Do we have a decoder?
No.
There's Black no decoder.
Orchestra, man.
Yeah. I think you need Data Sucker because the math is just not good.
Yeah.
You know? I think you need Data Sucker.
I mean, they get counters pretty fast, right? Like they get counters on successful fast. Runs.
They get counters fast enough that I don't think purging is worth it, and that's the board state that you want out of Freedom.
Yeah.
You know, so that is nice. Is it nice enough to win a regional? I don't know, man.
I think just another one of those engine decks where they want to install a bunch of stuff and then they're going to do all these cool things once they get everything installed. And although all these virus things are really cheap, like...
Right. I think you're more likely to see a deck with zero, like an Alice deck or like something weird, a deck that uses zero and Clan Vengeance.
Yeah, the self-damaging
Anarchy. I like that one a little bit. I think that's pretty good.
I think that's pretty good too.
We don't see a lot of it, and I built a similar deck once, and it was pretty good.
You know what my favorite card is in that Clan Vengeance Alice deck?
Yeah.
Fisk Investment Seminar, baby.
That's what I needed. I didn't have enough influence for it, because I was on Ribs, and I think Ribs is like 4 influence or something.
We're spending influence on something else. Because that's basically, like, if you have 2 Titanium Ribs and 3 Fisk Investment Seminars, that's 10 influence.
Yeah, that's all your influence.
So that's, like, most of it, right? So.
Right.
I think that one's got legs, and I think it's definitely gonna be a prominent part of the meta this summer, so.
Yeah.
So, any other thoughts on runners?
You think we're going to see an Adam?
I hope so. We're definitely going to see Adams and Sunnies make the cut.
I like White Hat a lot. I built a Sunny deck with White Hat, and it's pretty funny. I love the White Hat Legwork play.
Yeah. Just invest in some of
White Hat Legwork. Very
White
funny.
Hat makes them discard 2 cards from their hand, so they go down to 3, and then you Legwork and you see all their hand.
Yeah. Black Hat's also pretty good. I don't like it as much. Sure. You need a system around it, but
Black Hat is another Sunny card that imposes a self-trace, and it's an event, and it gives yourself like a trace of 4, But if it's unsuccessful and the corp loses, then the runner accesses two additional cards from HQ and R&D for the rest of the turn.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's pretty powerful.
It is. I wonder if there's some kind of crazy diaper-esque thing
there, where you can like nullify their ice and then
you nullify their ice. You use equivocation, and then you just run R&D over and over again, like with a billion clicks.
Yeah.
Somehow that you have, and equivocate everything and get and all the way to the bottom.
Everything, yeah, yeah.
And then my ultimate pet card you play, showing off, and go from the bottom.
Go from the bottom. Well, showing off would work with this, right?
Because yeah, absolutely. It's extra
cards. So, you know what else would work? This demolition run. So there you go.
Now we're brewing. We have come up with the regionals winning Sunny deck. Congratulations.
Yeah, there you go. So
you're just gonna disrespect Apex like that, right? Or are you, Graham?
I mean, Apex has had his two cards from the cycle out for like 2 months, and I still haven't seen an Apex deck. So,
yeah.
I mean, I'm gonna
bet against Apex at regionals. Please, someone prove me wrong. Please,
that would be cool.
Prove me wrong.
Andrew has been on the podcast a couple times, and he has predicted that Apocalypse is secretly going to be good. Which, you know, so you never know.
I think that is a pretty good prediction, because we see a lot of deep glaciers that are only protecting R&D. Oh my goodness, I'm a little worried now.
Yeah, right?
Oh my goodness. Ooh.
Well, that's why you're going to slot Crisium Grid, right? So you can turn off your Apocalypse triggered runs, because Crisium Grid says runs on the server don't count as successful.
They'll just run again. They'll just run next turn.
Well, yeah, but it buys you a turn, and it costs them 5 credits to trash it. Plus, you want it in your deck again for diversion of funds, because it's going to get siphoned.
True.
So, just saying, man. Just a little pro tip from your pal Graham. Slot a Crisium Grid, or three.
Yeah.
All right, give me a runner ID that you think is going to win a regional.
I mean, I can give you the easy answer.
Name a runner ID that is not Val that is going to win a regional or a national this summer.
Max.
Okay. Yeah, I dig that.
Also, Reyna. Also, you know what? I bet Omar might. Ed Kim.
I'm thinking about running Omar, man, because there's so many good aggro and art cards. And it's just like, I'm going to start as Omar.
Why are all the red cards so good? Has the red cards ever been bad before? Like, really early on, I bet, right?
Yeah, yeah. Before Order and Chaos, all of the Anarch cards were like... Technically, it's red-orange, by the way. Technically, it's red-orange. But yeah, before Order and Chaos, Anarchs blew goats, and then they just... Criminal would import all the good Anarch cards, and then that was, like, it.
It's like what we have now, except the other way around.
Right.
How the tides have turned. I think we will have a Woo win a regional as well.
Ooh, that's pretty good.
I think we'll have a Woo.
I bet you Haley's going to win a regional in her last regional season before she rotates.
Oh, yeah, Haley's. Bye, Haley.
So I think that's up there. I actually think it's more likely to be like a reg-ass Haley as opposed to Pirate Haley. But
Me too. I don't think Pirate's Haley any good, sorry.
I think there's just a lot of good multi-sub ice.
Yeah. Everyone's on that multi-sub ice.
And I'm going to say... I want to name one other runner ID.
Nasir.
No, not freaking Nasir. I bet you 419 is going to win a regional, honestly.
Interesting.
Because there's going to be some regional where he... is going to, or whoever wins, is going to have drawn like 2 GPI net taps or whatever their engine is consistently for all 6 games on the day that he plays with that deck, and then he's going to win. So,
that's
my prediction.
Interesting.
Yeah. We'll have to see if we're right, huh?
I like it a lot. Yeah, I can't wait.
Well, Kevin, you know, there's been some news about the products that are coming out after the Qatar cycle ends.
Yeah.
specifically regarding Rain and Reverie.
Sure.
The next deluxe box. And I figured we could discuss that in the News Now Hour.
You know, I when I was brewing my new Angela Soul asset spam deck, I have News Now Hour in there because now they can't get rid of my scarcity of resources. And that's terrible. Just a whole nightmare. And no, the deck is not good. And no, the deck is not good for Netrunner.
You said it was asset spam New Angela Soul?
Yeah.
That seems bad.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? You're never going to discover good decks if you don't build dead decks.
You know I mean? Those are wise words. Those are very wise words.
Every good deck started off as a jank, I guess. Yeah.
Okay. So, Kevin, Rain and Reverie, the fifth deluxe expansion for Netrunner.
Before we go into anything else, I'm just so glad we're finally getting pretty good and exciting Anarch cards, because that's just a faction that's just really been struggling.
I'm really glad
that we're getting even more cool, interesting, unique design and playstyle out of Anarch, because Anarch needs some love.
They needed some love.
And if you ask me, it's like, hey, what do we need out of Anarch? It's like, I think a good burst economy.
Right.
A pretty good decoder.
Yep.
You know, and a new way to make money and be efficient is exactly what Anarch needs right now in this meta.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And thankfully, some news that was just released from FFG, we're going to get some more good Anarch cards.
Oh, thank goodness. Oh, well, I was worried for a second.
So if you have not heard, Rain and Reverie is a deluxe expansion that is thematically set in the future city of Shiloh, which is
the
mega city from Chicago to St. Louis. And so I don't know if you've heard of Shiloh before. It's in the name of this podcast.
Yeah, it's us. I want to see a lot of good Chicago themes. You know, I want to see breakers that are themed after Chicago style hot dogs and
deep dish pizza.
Deep dish pizza. Just what else does Chicago have besides
the food? Great Lakes is a thing.
The Great Lakes. The bean.
I wonder if there's gonna be like a piece of ice for each Great Lake. Actually, probably the Great Lakes are like dried up in the future or something.
So yeah, I guess. I don't know. We don't have enough world.
We'll find out.
I want distinctly Chicago theme. In Rain and Reverie, so I am eagerly looking forward to this, and if this is not incredibly thematic, I'm going to be very upset. I will write a angry letter saying our brilliant metropolis has not been properly represented.
Shake your fist at Michael Boggs and say,
"Absolutely,
how dare you!" So you were mentioning some of these cool Anarch cards that Anarchs are finally getting something cool and or good. So the news bulletin they sent out today, they spoiled a new Anarch identity.
Yep.
Along with a new Anarch burst economy card and a new Anarch decoder.
Yep. So we have Nat Hall, our identity. 4015, by the way. 40.
First 40 for Anarch. Yep.
Is Anarch's first 40. In case Anarchs don't have enough, draw consistency.
Anarchs have 250 card decks. But they have so much draw that it doesn't matter.
Yeah, so now, it's like, I guess we only need two Earthrise Hotels now. Right? Nat Hall, when your turn begins, gain one if you have two or fewer cards in your grip. I like it. It's Anarchs are very dangerous when they drip. Okay?
Yeah.
Because that means that they can run more. You see that deck from the big boy last week or the week before, which it was, it's you set up with Reyna, and then you have a bunch of clickless drip, and you run and make the corp res all their crap, and you gain money, and the corp doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you drop that stuff into Nat, you will set up even faster, and you get just money at the start of your turn for nothing.
Right. Max, too, often runs like a single. Like she'll run a suite of data foldings, and then she'll only install like one or two. But that one credit drip she gets at the start of her turn.
So fuels Nat has it all built in, and then a 40 card deck. So Yeah, pretty scary. I wonder what other supporting pieces it'll have. Guinea Pig might be the best burst economy I've ever seen. It's going to be super good.
Guinea Pig is a four-cost event for Anarch that says Trash or Grip, game 10. So for single click, you're netting 6 credits.
Yeah.
Which, if you recall, Lucky Find netted you 6 credits for 2 clicks, and it cost you 2 influence. It was pretty good.
Yeah. Now, granted, Guinea Pig is 3 influence, but here's the nice thing. There has been many times I'm like, man, I wish I could just track my grip because I have three heat breakers in here. The other nice thing about this is you don't have to trash a certain number of cards in your grip. You just need to trash your grip.
Right. So what if you play Guinea Pig and it's the last card on your grip?
I believe you're good because you're changing the board state by gaining 10, right?
That's right. Yep. You can trash your grip of 0 and then gain 10.
And then next turn, gain 1 because you have 2 or fewer cards in the grip.
That's right.
Right.
You can even play Guinea Pig, trash your grip, trash like your heat breakers or whatever, then click to draw twice, and then you're still going to get the 1 next turn because Nat is up to 2 cards. So.
Right. And I think it's a little overstated. The flavor-wise, I understand. It's because Anarchs have always played with a low grip. That's kind of their design in the color pie.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to evoke this sense of danger. I feel that they overstate how dangerous it is. Because here's the thing. When you lose your grip, it's during your turn. The corp can't do anything.
Well, but
to kill you.
You get money when your turn begins. So you would have had to survive the corp turn in order to qualify for that money.
True. That is a good point.
So before, like old days of Netrunner, I would have said this ID has basically no downside. Because the only way that you would like take damage would be if you ran into a snare or if someone scorched earth you. But now there's a bunch of stuff like Urban Renewal and Wake Up Call and these kinds of effects that are going to do 3 or 4 burst damage. So that's going to help keep this kind of thing in check.
Right. So Cradle is... It's 4 to install. It's -1 strength for every card in your grip. And then 2 to break any number of code gate subroutines.
So it's a fixed strength decoder...
that breaks any number of subroutines for a certain cost. Have I seen that one before?
Yes.
So, now, it's better designed than Yogg, because at least it still costs you 2.
Right.
I'm a little worried because of this. There are many, many matchups where it doesn't matter how many cards you have in your hand. It probably is not going to matter against purple.
Right.
It's probably not going to matter against yellow. It sometimes... it's probably not even going to matter against green. I've played Jinteki decks where it doesn't matter. Here's the thing. You can get through a Fairchild triple for 2 with no grip.
Right. Or 1 card on your grip and 1 data sucker counter. Or 2 right. cards and 2 data sucker counters.
Right. So we're seeing the next really good Anarch decoder, which is BS because they don't... Anarchs deserve... I am an Anarch player. Because I like to win. Okay.
Fair.
Anarchs deserve to be stuck with Black Orchestra for the rest of their lives. And Anarch would still be the best.
Right.
Would still be the best faction. The fact that now we get something like Cradle, it's like, all right, that's nice. Can we have a criminal decoder or something that's good eventually one day, you know? I like that. It's good. I like that it's creative in that you have to build something specific around it.
Sure.
Psst, you can also put Cradle on Dinosaurus.
No, you can't. Oh, no.
Yeah. Put Net Ready Eyes. Now your Cradle is 2 extra strength, just like that.
Ta-da.
Do you remember when dumb. We used to run Net Ready Eyes out of Wizard?
Yeah, dude.
Just to boost Yogg.
We ran Net Ready Eyes instead of Ice Carver because they basically did the same thing, except that it was cheaper because they had so much leftover influence.
And then you have Net Ready Eyes and Ice Carver, and now you can go through Lotus Field.
Right. That was the other thing, is that it also got you through Lotus Field.
Yeah, Lotus Field. So.
So I have an observation. We've seen several IDs from Rain and Reverie so far.
Yeah.
One of which was a Shaper ID that invokes a side game.
I love it. I love it.
Which is really cool. The flavor on that is like super top notch. In the Netrunner universe, Shiloh is supposed to be sort of like this freedom destination, sort of like an underground railroad for androids. So the Shaper ID is Akiko Nisei, who is the pseudo-sibling, if you want to think of it like that, of Caprice Nisei. So she sort of has like the telepathic reads minds deal. And then when she runs R&D, she can play a Psy game. And if she wins the Psy game, she gets to access a different card or an extra card.
So the nice thing about that, what it really is, it's pressure. It's our first ever Shaper Econ pressure. Because the side game basically turns into Econ pressure, because
you bid zero.
90% of the time you're bidding zero and they're going to bid one.
Right.
Unless you want to psych them out and you're slowly draining corp money from the corp. The fact that she also has a link, super hype.
Yeah, that's going to be really great. I'm really
excited. Isn't she 40 cards too? Or is she 45? Oh yeah, she's 45. She's 45. But she's only 12 influence. That's at least a little balanced in that regard.
Yeah, she gets the link, but she's 45.
Yeah.
All right, so Akiko aside, now we've got these three other IDs. We've got Nat Hall, which does like the no hand or the no grip Anarch.
Yep.
We've got the outfit, which was previously spoiled as the Wayland ID. You gain 3 credits whenever you take at least 1 bad publicity.
I don't like it as much, but let's see it. Yep.
And then we've got the new NBN ID called Acme. Acme Industries, is that what it is?
Acme Consulting.
Acme Consulting, which says the runner is considered to have 1 additional tag during encounters with the outermost piece of ice protecting any server.
Love it.
Which is particularly good for any ice that says end the run if the runner's tagged.
Yeah, so like we got things like
a Data Ward is really
good. Data Ward becomes super good. Hydra is super good.
Yeah, they just spoiled Hydra, which is strength 10, or no, sorry, 10 cost 6 strength sentry.
Yep.
That says, it's got 3 subs.
Tagged. Yep.
And they say, do 3 net damage if the runner's tagged, otherwise give the runner a tag. Gain 5 if the runner is tagged, otherwise give him a tag. And the run if the runner is tagged, otherwise give the runner a tag. So it does something no matter what, which is crucial. Unlike the other, and the run if the runner's tagged subs, which typically don't do anything if they're not tagged.
And then things like IP block, Pachinko. Oh my god, I can't believe we're gonna see Pachinko.
We're not gonna see Pachinko because IP block is just better. But maybe you will. Pachinko is just a 1 cost 4 strength barrier.
We're gonna see Pachinko out of Acme. Okay,
Someone will try it. Yes. Okay. That is a reasonable place to put Pachinko.
Data Ward, Hydra, IP block, Pachinko. I mean, honestly, Resistor isn't bad either out of Acme. But here's the only thing. It's only the outside line of ice, right? So you still need to have your brick and mortar actual taxing thing.
Right. And maybe that just becomes like the first ice you install is one of these ice that cares about tags, and then the next piece of ice is a Data Raven.
So that
no matter what, in either situation, you're still getting the benefit.
Or you just layer the ice, you know, or something like that.
You run Tenma line, obviously, and then you switch around your ice as much as you want. So with these last 3 IDs, Nat Hall, Acme Consulting, and the outfit, I feel like they all hail back to earlier Netrunner designs.
Okay.
We saw the No Grip Anarch in Mumbad with like the Liberated Mind data pack.
Yep.
Stuff like Noble Path that trashes your grip, and then you ignore damage for the run.
Yes.
Which is thematically cool, but it's kind of a shit card.
Hey, we're going to see it, though. I bet
We're going to see it.
We're gonna see it again. Yeah.
If you want to make anything possible in Netrunner, you got to make it profitable, and that's what Netrunner does. So.
Exactly. So now we're gonna get to see these cards that we no longer even, you know, we haven't thought about for so long.
Right.
Like pachinko.
Like pachinko. Por ejemplo. So then Acme, I feel like, goes back to these NBN decks that care about tags but aren't Tagstorm, necessarily. Right. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because once Hard Hitting News came out, then it was not about, is the runner tagged, yes or no? It was, how many tags is the runner buried in, and will they eventually suffocate from the tags?
Right.
So that's kind of interesting. And then the outfit reminds me a lot of Grundle, or not Grundle Refinery, just Grundle the ID, which gave you 10 credits to start the game instead of 5, but you also started with a bad pup. So instead,
it's almost better. You can get more out of it. The outfit.
Out of the outfit, yeah. Because the outfit's like, score a hostile takeover, and instead of netting 5, you net 8, which is huge.
That other card that's in Random Reverie, Too Big to Fail, 0.
0 to
gain
play.
7. Yeah, gain 7 and take a bad pub.
That's insane. Click to gain 10? Like, yeah.
And then, if the bad pup really bothers you that much, you can just play Exposé or something. You know?
Right, and get rid of the bad pup. I have a feeling that
Exposé is actually, like, a little, if you think about it, in certain situations, Exposé is just an extra half of an NGO front. Because it's instant, you can just bait people into running it.
Oh, absolutely. I've started playing with it again, against the Vals of the world, and you know, it kind of runs into the problem of, like, I don't want to put more than one in my deck, because it's just a tech card. And Corp Tech cards, your slots are so insanely tight.
But out of the outfit, it'll always be good.
Exactly.
I mean, it's definitely better than running IRS.
Well, there's got to be some kind of card in here that's going to help mitigate some of the bad pub. Either you remove it, or it's like IRS where, like, it drains, like, on encounter, the runner loses money equal to how much bad pub you have, or something, I don't know.
Right.
So, with that comparison, do you have any thoughts on what else we might see in Rain and Reverie?
That's a difficult question. So in the, you're saying the Jinteki ID or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's hard. What would I do?
Just the design space. I'm trying to think of Netrunner designs we've seen in the past that seem interesting, but were kind of underdeveloped. And I think that's what we're going to see in Rain.
So it's almost like retakes on rotated IDs or something like that, you think?
Yeah. Or just, like, Nat didn't correspond to a rotated ID, but there was sort of that package of things that then didn't really get used, so Nat lets you use it.
I think we will have a Jinteki ID, and the Jinteki ID will somehow force runners to run somewhere. I don't know how they're going to do it, but it's going to play around with the design space of coercing the runner to do things they don't want to do. So what's the Jinteki ID that rotated? RP.
Yes.
Replicating Perfection, White Tree. And Replicating Perfection made runners, if they wanted to attack, it's click compression because it forced the runner to run a central before they attack your remote. And if you make your central spiky on the peripheral ice, then runners really hate you. I think if they come out with a new remix on that for Rain and Reverie, it would be some kind of ability, passive ability, that made the runner have to run somewhere, like at the start of their turn or something like that, when they might not necessarily want to run. That's my take.
So I'm going to make a prediction and say that the HB identity in Rain and Reverie is going to be the Brain Damage ID. Because we get Brain Damage cards all the time, and they're always bad.
But we have a Brain Damage ID!
Well, but Cybernetics Division is not good at all. It punishes, like, just as a blank ID, like, on its own. It is worse for the corp than it is for the runner to have a hand size
of
4.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Also, because, like, with meat damage or net damage, you can basically just kill the runner without needing to splash for damage, right? Like, you can make a Jinteki deck, and all the kill cards you need are in Jinteki, right?
Yep.
Same for Roiland. HB Brain Damage doesn't have the same luxury because it's so hard to land Brain Damage.
Yep.
That But then how do you kill them? Even if they get down to like one card hand size, like how do you kill them? Well, you have to import your damage cards. So I think it's got to be an ID that gives you extra influence for importing damage. That lets you import Jinteki cards specifically, so it's not custom biotics.
Now that's an ID you see all the time.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying. Though a reason why that ID is not played is because there's no reason why you'd ever want that.
So, yeah, I feel like they're trying so hard to make brain damage work, which I love because I think brain damage is cool.
Right. Maximum cool points for brain damage.
I think brain damage is super cool. But remember that time I managed to get I will never forget it.
You were playing Cybernetics Division, so my hand size was 4.
Yeah, and I got to... I hit you... I scored...
Sentinel Defense Program.
I scored Sentinel Defense Program, which already is a first.
Right. 4-2, and then I did... When you do brain damage, you also do net damage. It's super underwhelming.
And then I got you to run into black level clearance, and I dealt a... And I got it to proc. I don't think anyone has ever gotten Sentinel Defense Program to proc. And then I think if I remember, I played eventually later in the game, I played Enforced Curfew, which got your hand size down to 1. And then after your during your run on another server on click 4, in my other remote that you weren't running on, and it's your last click, I rest Chairman Hero to win the game.
Right. So you lowered my hand size to -1. And then I lost.
Yeah. Without Friends in High Places... That deck, no. There will be no deck.
There will be no deck. So, yeah, well, so, that was the other thing, is that Cybernetics Division, an advantage that it gave you is that you got a smaller deck size, which is not really something that you want or care about in a brain damage deck because you're not trying to rush out, usually.
Right. Right. So I'd be interested to see what they do. And I, you know what? I want a brain damage deck because why not, right? I mean, brain damage is hard to land, but why not? I hate cards that prevent brain damage. I feel like Caldera, if you're preventing brain damage, I feel like if you're preventing brain damage, it's like, but I tried so hard to give you brain damage. It's so hard to give you brain damage. Why you gotta rain on my parade?
Right.
You know?
It's stupid.
It's like, yeah, I mean, right now, like, have you ever flatlined someone with brain damage before? It's so fun. It's so satisfying. Even if it's, like, janky.
Yeah. It's super satisfying.
That CI deck where you Helheim servers them, and then you discard everything to a brainstorm, and then you pop the twins. That's so fun.
So like, oh, now you will encounter this, you know, 12 subroutine brainstorm, and dude, I will do 12
brain
damage
to
you.
Or when you don't have the twins, what's even better, when you don't have the twins, you still res brainstorm, and you give them your entire hand so that they can't break it. Brainstorm procs, and then you res Marcus Batty and hit them one more time with another brain damage.
Oh my god, that's dumb, Kevin. That's dumb.
You can tell I've been thinking about brain damage a lot.
For a long, long time.
So I love your prediction. I really hope we get a brain damage deck, Chris. Brain damage is super cool. I learned about how damage works is one of the first things I ever learned about Netrunner. Before I even started playing the game, my friend was telling me about the game. I'm like, wait, damage is your hand? That's super cool. That's super unique design.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm down. I'm always down for some brain damage, Vampy.
Yeah.
So if we got...
What about Criminal? Do you think there's...
Yeah, how about an ID that's like, this deck is good. That'd be a good...
Seriously, stop being a sass basket over there, huh? this is a good ID.
So what's the problem with Criminal? Well, first of all, Rain and Reverie better be full of the best Criminal cards this side of Temujin Contract.
Yeah, well, they just need some decent economy.
They need decent economy that's like 8 influence so that other factions get it.
I think they've got... good enough breakers for old Criminal archetypes. I feel like Criminal was just like good stuff crim for so long
that
it was kind of hard to like. You could have a denial crim that somehow makes all those like free Mars or the Mars cycle cards better. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe all that needs is just diversion of funds. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to think, like, because here's the thing, like, what do criminals do nowadays? They de-res things and expose things.
Right. Well, and they're kind of moving away from the run-based criminal and making it a run-based Shaper, because Shaper has the better breakers.
Right. So it's like...
So now it's like remote lock criminal? Kind of?
I don't know. That's the problem. Criminals don't even have an identity anymore. It's like, you know what criminal right now reminds me of? It reminds me of Waylon from like 2 years ago, where it's like, no one knows what Waylon does. It does two things badly. It's like, it's like Jinteki does damage. NBN tags you, and then Wayland does a little bit of both badly,
right?
You know, so it's like criminals, like, what do criminals do? I don't know. They derez, they pressure corp econ, not as good as anarchs, and they make efficient runs, but not as good as Shaper, you know.
Yeah, you're exactly right. That's exactly where they're at. So and I'm just trying to think of, like, previous, like, cycles of criminal cards.
What if they made the, like, because we have Steve, right? What if they made criminals the recursion faction? Like Shaper used to be, and Anarch, and, yeah, both of them for some bizarre reason.
That's kind of interesting. I always felt like criminals were supposed to have this like, control over their grip. Whereas, like, Shapers could search R&D, and Anarchs had archives, and then
like really deep, like, controlling interactions with the corp, you know, something like, I don't know,
it's hard.
Yeah, it's hard. Like, criminals have information, right?
Criminals have information. They're supposed to have, like, the most information out of all the factions, so then they search the deck for the card that they need.
Right.
And then put it out. So maybe like a toolbox criminal.
Okay, go on.
Where that you can have a deck that's got like a bunch of different kind of tech cards for the right situation, whether it's like a tech program or a tech person, connection or something. And then once you find out, like, oh, this person is running big sentries, I will pull out this connection that says when a strength 5 or a higher sentry subroutine is about to fire, the corp discards their hand. Or some crazy shit. Trash it, right?
Yeah, that's interesting. Or something like, at the start of the corp's turn, the corp has to reveal a random card from HQ.
Okay.
Something like that.
Or what if it's like an ID that has that enhanced vision ability in it? So, like, first time you make a successful run each turn, the corp reveals a card at random. Or pays 2. Or something.
Okay, yeah.
Some kind of counterplay.
Stuff like that, because that's all interactions with the corp that makes the corp uncomfortable. And it's not overbearing. And I understand that one of the reasons criminal is not very good right now, it's really hard to balance stuff like this. Because if it's too good, you can break the game.
Yes.
Right. So, I mean, Temujin is a great example. Aaron Marin. I'm going to admit, I do not understand the thought process behind Aaron Marin, but Temujin I can almost understand.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's some kind of, like, you need interaction with an interesting way, because we all love Andy, but let's be honest, Andy was a little boring. Because
super
all it is
boring.
Is good stuff. And which is why I think it's like, yeah, the 40 card, one link ID. Well, if they print that in Reign and Reverie, we'd all be like,
yawn.
Yeah, I play it, but yawn, you know?
Right, right.
Yeah, it's actually pretty good, but yawn.
You know, what they tried to start bringing back in Katara was self-tagging cards. They give you a benefit, but then tag you.
Yeah.
So there could be criminal cards in Reign and Reverie that do the same thing. Obviously, Siphon was the old self-tagging card.
Right.
But they got rid of that for good reason. So,
hey, we can code siphon.
Code siphon. Make a run on R&D, install a program, and take a tag if it's successful.
Yeah, there we go.
But then make it 4 influence and put it in a Shaper. You know what? I'd be okay with self-tagging run events, though, because I love Jesmyndr thematically, and so anything that's going to boost her.
But here's the thing. If there's more self-tagging run events, at every point, people are just going to play out of Jess instead of criminal.
Or worse yet, they're gonna play out a freaking self tag match.
God of War, no!
we broke it. So it's gotta be faction loyal criminal. slash
also Jazzmender. Stupid. It's got to be like, I don't know. I think Criminal needs a lot of help right now, and I don't think a single ID is going to do anything.
But no,
I am it's curious gotta be non-ID what they're going to do because I think everyone knows. I think the developers at FFG, they know there's something wrong with Criminal right now. So they're
I heard a rumor that all of the current cards were playtested with Temujin, and so that's the only reason why like Criminal sucks so bad is because they had like Temujin and Aaron Marone when they were playtesting it. They're like, well, this faction is busted.
Yeah, so here, so what are they playing Anarch cards with? Are they playing Anarch cards with like Corset Anarch or what?
What were they playing Shaper with? Like, were they playtesting Wu and they had like Deus Ex and Sharpshooter and stuff? Because like that would be cool, but.
That'd be fun. Ooh. But no. I can't believe you can't. I would love if you could grab cash out of Wu. Oh my god, they say non-virus for a reason.
Yeah, that's exactly why. curses. Dumb.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Kevin, hey, I'm glad that you and I got to sit down today and really solve all of the problems that that Netrunner's having.
Of course. I'm just doing my job.
We just hashed it out. And now Netrunner is fixed. We saved Netrunner.
We saved Netrunner. Yep.
So you guys can thank us through our Patreon.
Do I get a cut of that? Or
brought to you by Blue Apron. No, you don't get a cut because there isn't a Patreon. Yeah, Kevin, any final thoughts for the people?
Don't be afraid to have fun. Make silly stuff. You'd be surprised what works and what doesn't. Netrunner rules! Woo!
Netrunner rules! Netrunner, much like the Tunnel Snakes, rule. that's a cut. That's a deep cut right there. It's an oldie.
Yeah, that's an oldie.
Kevin, thank you so much for joining me today, man.
No problem. Love doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll do this again soon.
Sure.
Listener, you can find us at least twice a month at shipmentfromshiloh.podomatic.com. You can shoot me a tweet at GrahamCrackerGo. My username on all things Netrunner is PureFlight. Thanks to Foundation for the amazing theme music, and thanks to you for listening in. That's our show. This is Graham Carlson signing off for the night. Stay safe, New Angeles, and join us next time on Shipment from Shiloh.
And then there's like some music playing right now, right?
Right. Boop 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 boop. That right, just like that.
Yo, what up, invaders? It's your boy Graham Carlson. We're here in Shiloh, and we're gonna do some epic pranks. If you like this video, smash that like button and subscribe button. Don't forget to check out our merch. You know,
right.
Because they got the clone ship parasite data sucker, like Cypher, Faust, Medium.
There's so many terrible words
cards,
you're saying, Kevin.
All these cards are gone. It's like it's all coming back, like Vietnam flashbacks. You know?
Yeah, right. This is a family show, Kevin. You can't swear that much and say all this Faust, Medium stuff.